Bienvenue au David Lee Roth. Faites comme chez vous, nous on le fait. Roth, 6h du mat.
Roth Radio, D-Row, large and in charge. Do I sound distorted to you? Something's blowing up on my microphone here. Is it fizzling out still? Hit the button one more time there. Just go ahead. Check one. Hey, there, that's better. Yeah, already.
You hear things I never hear.
Yeah, here's what I want to hear. Elizabeth Haight, welcome. How are you today?
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome. But you're here to talk about obsessive love. Is that I sense
yes.
this.
Yes.
Elizabeth is our columnist for the New York Post. She writes on relationships. She's also the author of I'm No Saint. I think she is. What did you find out about obsessive love? Talk to me. I think I know. I think I already am part of
you
this
You know
cycle.
About it. I'm a victim of it, a perpetrator of it. Well, I think I'm more the perpetrator than the victim.
Describe what obsessive love is, if you could. Please.
In its worst case?
Yes.
Okay, it's the pet bunny in the pot. It's the fatal attraction. But in its, well, more benign forms, it's when I'm just writing for, I wrote today from a woman's perspective, but of course men are certainly victim of this too, or perpetrators of it also.
Who's more responsible for obsessive love, women?
I think we get nuttier. Men tend to act more violently, but women, you know, I've just discovered there's the star 67 button.
What's the star 67 button?
I think you can block your caller ID.
Does every woman have this? I thought I knew most of the body parts. But
well, I'll tell you, this. You know, the worst thing that's happened to us is this caller ID thing. You can't stalk the guy on the phone anymore.
Ah. As,
yeah, but I think a girl told me if you push star 67 and you just got to hear his voice, you can do that without him knowing it's you.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you just gave away the secret. This is like, what is that book, The Game, or whatever, on how to, you know, con a girl at the bar or
well,
whatever?
Well, I'm giving the ladies tips.
Okay, and you're saying that women are more responsible for obsessive love. If I can't have you, nobody will. Is that how you spell it?
You just can't get the guy out of your head, and he can drive you literally insane. In my column today, I wrote about, well, my own instance of madness.
Please share with us.
Of course.
Reacquaint us.
The worst it ever got was it was in the late 90s, and I had a boyfriend who was constantly, he was very, very devoted at first. And as I write, you know, in the beginning, he was kind of this wounded soul, and I loved him, and I wanted to take care of him.
The hurt clown
yes!
routine.
But he wasn't a clown. He was more, as I write, glam rock. Maybe that's a clown.
Clown. When was this? Late 90s?
Late 90s.
That's a clown.
Yeah. And he, after a while, these ex-girlfriends started to surface, you know? Oh, we're going to the movies. Oh, you want to join us for dinner? No, I didn't want to join them for dinner. And no, I don't want to meet them.
Oh, wait a minute. He would say to you, let's go to dinner, and he would show up with somebody else on his arm?
One of his, quote, ex-girlfriends. I objected, and he said, you know, too bad. They're my family. They're my friends. He had been orphaned as a kid.
Ah.
What could I do? I was so guilt-tripped into accepting them. Well, finally, one night, he always called me. I mean, it was a really obsessive, compulsive
How did you even get into the car, Liz, if he shows up with another dame? Come on.
Oh, it was a manipulation. Oh, you'll like her. You'll be friends with her. I want her to meet you.
Okay, well, is that kind of like when I leave porno magazines with lesbian activity laying around, and then when Sasha comes up, she goes, wow, are you into this? And I go, oh, you found it. But now that you're talking about it. Oh, I meant to hide that, but now that it's out in the open.
Like a tactic to get me into bed with these chicks, you know?
Maybe.
He could have just asked me.
No, because then you ruin your game with everybody for being too blunt.
Well, anyway, so what happened was one night, now he always called me after work, and I always called him. One night, he disappeared on me, and I knew he had seen his ex-girlfriend earlier that day, and she was a masseuse. And so when I didn't hear from him, I started to obsessively call work, the cell, the home. No answer.
Oh, did you do like 15 phone calls in a row? Because I've gotten that routine before.
Yeah, it's like 25.
25 phone calls
yeah,
in a row. What were you hoping to achieve? Honestly.
Well, I hoped to nail him and then for him to say something like, all the lines were dead, all the phones were broken. Anything but, you know, you're insane.
Oh, you made yourself completely conspicuous so that you were undeniable, right?
Of course. Okay. Yeah. And I was shameless. And then now it was about midnight. I threw a coat over my pajamas, hailed a cab, went to his office, rang the bell, no answer. Another cab, downtown where he lived, rang the bell, no answer. By this time, this is not in the column, I was looking for 2x4s. You know, anything. And I was thinking, what can I do to him if I find a baseball bat, a 2x4? All right.
How long ago was this?
Let's see. I've had how many years of psychotherapy since?
Really? Have you actually been to therapy since this? Because this sounds like very obsessive kind of behavior.
It's really bad. But he drove me to it. And then I wound up at my girlfriend's house needing some Valium as a tranquilizer, curled up in the fetal position on her bed. He eventually tracked me down. He knew where I'd turn up. And he appears. And I said, where were you? He said, oh, I was at my office. I said, but didn't you hear me ring the bell? He said, well, yeah, but, you know, I wasn't 100% sure it was you. And now that I've heard all these messages you've left, I'm glad I didn't answer, because who knew what you would do?
And what was your response to that?
I can't say it on the air. But
did this thing fall apart? Because, come on, Liz, that's amazingly obsessive behavior. If you're going to call somebody 20 times, it should be because they owe you money.
I'll tell you, I got more and more threatening. I really lost my mind. No, we stayed together for about 5 more years.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, he's the glutton for punishment
there.
I was going to say, you're going to make some young man very unhappy someday, and someday already happened, it sounds like.
He made me nuts, too, but I never, never, never trolled around Manhattan again in my pajamas. Never got that bad again.
You mean you drove around in a taxi in your PJs?
Flannels.
That sounds sexy.
Not in my case.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I could totally see this with little Yodas on them or something like that.
God, they might have had flowers.
Come chase me. Chase me in a kimono. And you stayed with this guy for 5 years after that routine?
It was a very, like, you know, one of those codependent sadomasochistic relationships.
Yeah, you're a top and he's a bottom. That's what that's called.
All the way around.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're the submissive?
Totally.
Well, wait a minute.
Yes.
So you brought everything into focus by behaving like a complete top, a complete in-control person.
That's not a top. Oh, when we started, yes. Yeah. I was the caretaker, the nurturer, and then slowly he infected my brain. And that was it. Eventually, I turned.
Tell me how he infected your brain.
It took a long time, but he began by loving me a lot, and then slowly...
Routine injections.
Yeah. Slowly the criticisms began.
Negging.
Yeah, and the chicks began.
What do you mean the chicks began?
Well, these chicks started to appear, you know, or the phones would ring like 2 a.m. He'd be sleeping at my house and one of them would call. And, you know, he'd say, but I'm not having sex with them. They're my friends. By that time, I already loved the guy and he was already in my life. I was invested.
How long did it take before you became invested? I'm learning here.
Oh, I got invested within a year. And then by the second year, my mind started to turn. And then by the seventh year, I was drooling.
Was this guy like your father, Liz? I read part of your book. Is this guy page torn out of your book? Is this dad?
He was a much, much worse version because he was the worst of my mother and my father put together.
Well, you keep winding back up in this circle because I'm exactly like your dad, Liz.
Are you a withholding bastard?
Yes, I am. I read that part very conclusively several times here. And look how much you keep coming back here. We keep having a great time. You are a glutton for a little bit of punishment.
You know what's going to happen?
Please.
You're teasing me, aren't you?
Vaguely.
Yeah. You love me so much while I'm here. And what do we got, about three more weeks of this before you start abusing me?
I was thinking till the end of the song kind of stuff. What are you talking about abuse? Because to these days, abuse means not paying attention.
Yes.
You follow? That's the whole routine of dating these days, is you walk into a place loaded with the opposite sex, and then you pretend like you don't notice anybody.
Don't ignore me, Dave.
I'm attempting. I'm trying to, but I just can't. Do you consider yourself obsessive in general, Liz?
Absolutely.
In everything?
Well, when I work, it's scary. You know, I can do things to the exclusion of all other things. So, yes, I've got great focus. I'm like the opposite of an ADD person.
Sure.
You know, it's not at all that I'm scattered. It's one guy. It's one person after two dates.
So what about when these girls start showing up on the vista here, on the horizon? What was your take on that? How did you mitigate that? What did you do? Or did you just accept it and ultimately he extracted his foul
no.
foul toll?
No, I, you know, mostly, I mean, I had these whole voodoo sessions, you know, I had the
dolls. Liz, Okay, well, it only took four visits, but we're getting to it. Here we go.
Well, listen, I also write in the column about a very good friend of mine who also went bananas. I'm not alone in this. And let me just say, I know of another woman who has uprooted herself, left where she lives, to go chase a guy who's moved away, and then she turns up in his city and pretends to have met him there coincidentally. She took her husband and kid and did that, and eventually divorced the husband.
How old was she? How old is she?
She's like in her 30s.
This sounds like a Reese Witherspoon movie.
And the woman who I write about, who's a longtime girlfriend of mine, in my story, she was going out with a guitarist who drove her insane. Come and go, come and go. It's a certain type of man who does this.
Sure.
One Valentine's Day, he made plans to go out to dinner with another woman, not her. She'd had it. She took all the clothes that he'd left at her house and went to his music studio where the door was made of wood, and she had brought a hammer and nails with her, crucified the clothes to the door.
This is psychotic behavior. This is so out in the margin here. How could she ever hope to obtain anything? What did she think she was going to accomplish by doing that?
I don't know. She got a lot of cheers from her girlfriends. We loved it.
I don't know, Liz. How did you manage to get rid of the other women that were popping into your love life with this guy once they started calling in on the phones? What did you say?
I didn't get rid of them. That's why we're not together anymore. I mean, you know, eventually they won. They've prevailed.
Okay, so this was like a buffer. These were flak catchers for him, right? He never had to make the commitment completely, right? Yeah. You spent 5 years with this fella?
I had seven.
And there were constant other calls coming in here.
Yeah, and they were, quote, not sexual. There was even one girl he went and stayed in a hotel room with, slept in the same bed, but it was not sexual.
Okay, all right. Well, that's his fault. He probably drank too much. I don't know that guys can have any relationship with a chick that's not sexual if you're about the same age or if you're in the same kind of generation or if the lighting is correct or whatever. Obviously, you know, working corporate, whatever. Yeah.
Every single one of them seemed to have these talents of, like, they could do Reiki or some sort of, you know, exotic massage. They knew how to exorcise the spirits from a room.
Everything except a real job. Go ahead.
You know, they could candle his ears. They treated him. They'd massage his feet. They'd do aromatherapy. Like, as if I was going to do that.
It's porn light is what that is. That's what you do when you don't do anything else.
Yeah.
You know, it's the massage lady over at Scores. I just dropped $400 on her last Friday, too.
Oh, God, are you an idiot?
No, you know, look at my skin tone.
Yeah, you do look kind of good today, don't you?
Now, this guy you stayed with for 7 years, where is he now?
Oh, he's here in Manhattan.
And is he aware of what you're doing for a living? Is he aware of you're sharing some of these moments with the public?
I am very discreet. You have no idea who he is. You don't know what his profession is. I don't say it. Although he will know who he is. And the last time I wrote about him, one of his ex-girlfriends came across the story and naturally emailed it to him.
Ah. And do you run across these girlfriends routinely?
No. I don't see them much. Most of them live downtown or in other parts of the country.
This is interesting stuff. How did you last so long? Why did you stick so long? Did you just figure that you had no options? That you had nothing else waiting for you? Because this is almost like...
It would be hard to believe I would have nothing else waiting for me, right?
Yeah, you're great looking. You're a very clever gal, all right? So what's the hang-up? What was that, a self-esteem issue? Because this is like spousal abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, when princess can't leave the house, even though she's got a black eye, well,
you know
there's
called?
No option. Talk.
The Stockholm Syndrome. Think Patty Hearst. I identified with the captor. I felt I deserved it.
Okay.
But, you know, that happened over time. The other thing is he actually suited other aspects of my lifestyle. He worked compulsively. I was building a career as a writer. So I got to say I had a boyfriend, but I didn't really have to go out and look for one.
Yeah, the same reason my car has looked new for the last 7 years. I'm never back in L.A. to drive it. And I've had relationships like that where I say, Stace, it's great to see you again. Every single time.
Well, that's what we would do. We'd talk on the phone. We'd maybe see each other on the weekend. And so we stuck together because we didn't actually have to be together.
You're my kind of gal. I'm thinking on this. What else did you write today in terms of being obsessive? Is there a secret to deprogramming that obsessiveness?
Okay.
How do you do that?
Yes, there is. It's really hard, though. You can't do it just... It doesn't just stop or anything. You have to really... It's called behavior modification.
Didn't we discuss this during Vibrator Day?
Yes, in a sense.
Women who become a vibrator dependent.
Yeah.
It's the same. You got to taper off, right?
Well, you wean yourself. In my case, what I do is when I find myself fixating again, which definitely still happens, I transfer the focus. I do what guys do now, and I work. I worry about my job. That's what men do, right? If it's not the car, it's the job. Since I don't have a car, I worry about my job.
Well, I think it says in the Old Testament that the end of a relationship is God's way of saying time to buckle down and make some real money.
That's what I do, and I'm so rich right now.
Let's take one call here. Michelle, you're on Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. What's up, Michelle?
Great. I just want to say that I think that Liz, she's on to something as far as obsession goes, but I think my opinion is that women have to adapt, just like men have to adapt. And I think that sometimes men rely on the fact that women are weak and they're going to become obsessive and they're going to do things to go out of their way. So they manipulate women by, you know, bringing in other women and testing the limits.
Okay, so what's the quickest way to get a woman to obsess about me?
Well, you pull, show up chained to a fence in a pair of leather pants.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, well, hey, it worked for a while for me, but
it still works. You ought to see Liz. She's
really?
Lit up.
Hey,
she's
Liz,
lit up like the star on my Hanukkah bush.
God.
Go ahead. I think you had a point. I didn't.
Well, you know, my point is that, you know, I think that men, such as yourself, intelligent men, know that women fall for certain things, and you know, it's okay for if you want to get laid, you got to do certain things, and some of them are you know, cry, act weak,
the know, male of the species.
Like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. He didn't call me. You know, something like, you know, but it's a form of adaptation.
I call it theater.
I don't call it obsession.
I call it theater, Michelle.
I like she calls it adaptation.
There you go. Adapt and prevail. It's the Marine Corps approach to getting laid. Liz, can you hang out for one more minute here?
Oh, sure.
We got to pay the rent. 866-313-3733. We'll be back. I'm David Lee. Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, large and in charge, and I'm sitting here with my favorite guest, Elizabeth Haight. Love you, Elizabeth. How are you this morning?
I'm so good.
She's the author of I'm No Saint, and you can find her on ElizabethHaight.com. She's our post columnist on relationships. Probably one of the more important cycles of interview in my broadcasting career. I'm a relationship god, and you're an obsessive, is what you've
Wait,
been telling us.
Are you a god or a veteran?
I'm a veteran.
Yeah, I'm a veteran too.
I got the stars and the scars. I'm permanently scarred. Kick me in the heart, and you'll break your toe. So what do you think? What's the quickest way to get a woman obsessive over you? Do you sleep with her? Is that the break point, or is it a personality issue, or what causes obsession in the most heated degree?
Okay, look at Jean Harris and Herman Turnauer. This is what inspired my story, actually.
I just saw that movie on the TV
set. I watched Mrs. Harris on HBO, and I sympathize with Jean Harris, who murdered Turnauer in 1980. Driven by jealousy, I guess his insensitivity and selfishness. But what he did at first, he treated her like a princess, and he gave her a big diamond ring and took her to parties, and they danced. Once he had her hooked, oof.
And then he dropped her, and she shot him, and that's acceptable.
He didn't drop her. Worse, he did what they all do. He hung his affection. He dangled it in front of her like a string. And you know what happened? She became the mad cat, pawing at the string, trying to snag it.
Like a Kabbalah string.
As if.
Okay.
There is no spirituality in this whatsoever. It's dementia.
And let's address the word dementia. You really believe that she was a sympathetic character because of the way that he dealt with her?
To me. The poor thing was depressed, but he drove her to it. She's all's forgiven in my book. She had a nice job.
You know? Okay, Liz, I have a very special phone call for you. It's from Steve on number 6 here, Roth Radio. I'm D. Rowe. Go ahead, bro. You're on.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Excellent, Steve. What is your thing here? What is the title of your phone call?
Liz, you are nuts, I have to say. I think you wrote this book to explain to yourself and all your friends why you acted like this, why you behaved like this, because, I mean, you should just become a lesbian at this point. I mean, this obsessive behavior that you talk about that other people have driven you to, I think you have much bigger issues with yourself and your father and many other things that have driven you to become this psycho woman roaming around Manhattan. Now you sympathize with a murderer?
Hold on one second. One second.
I can't believe this.
1 second. Does becoming a lesbian count as a move upward, or is that a lateral move? That's a lateral move.
The male population as a whole, if she became a lesbian.
You know, I don't know if you saw me, you might have a change of heart, but I'll tell you.
You have a change of pants, too. No, go ahead, Liz. Talk to her.
Listen, if the right girl presented herself, I'm sure I could chase after her, too.
What do you think of that, Steve?
I think we'd all be much better off, because this behavior that you displayed, I think that would come out no matter what happened to you. I don't see how you could say that any man could drive you or anyone else to murder someone over an affection or whatever you say. I'm just speechless at this point. I just can't believe the stuff that's coming out of your mouth.
Okay, hold on. One sec, my friend. Hold on, because it's the Roth Show. You got to take it all with a block of salt here. Liz, speak to this. How serious are you about Herman Tarnauer and the woman who shot him? How serious
are
you?
Well, I really do believe that it was his fault. Granted, it takes two to tango.
Okay, I'm going
to
go with what Steve says. You have issues.
I never said I didn't. I am not the steadiest ship at sea. But that's why I get paid to do this stuff. I mean, could you imagine if I had it together and I was a happy suburban housewife?
No.
Would you want to hear from me?
Your writing would be banal and boring, and your life would be predictable. All the best wine pours out of a cracked pitcher. Come on, Ben.
Exactly.
Anybody who's ever had corn mash still whiskey knows it tastes best out of a bent up little tin cup, okay?
Look, madness is always entertaining.
Yeah, and so is rage. I sense that you have a little bit of rage. Steve, are you still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm still with you, D-Ro.
Okay, I think you have a little bit of rage, too. Are you bitter over something that may have happened to you? Share it with us.
Oh, well, I've experienced this with my mother, the way she left my father. I mean, she blames him for everything. After being given this wonderful house, never having to work, and then divorcing and leaving him and blaming him for everything after he works 10 hours a day, comes home to her screaming at him, "Do you know what I did today?" And she, cleaned the house, not even,
How old's your mother?
I don't see how these women get off, blaming men for their problems when they're put up on a pedestal.
Hold on, how old is your, hold on, slow down, kiddo.
Chill, dude. How old is your mother?
How old?
She's 45. I'm only 20 years old.
Oh, you're 20, she's 45. And when did she kick your dad out?
Kicking out? She left with her boyfriend, went to Virginia. This was 2 years ago.
Ah.
She stopped talking to me, stopped talking to my sister after she decided to move in with us.
Okay, I think I'm starting to see a little bit of a pattern there, and you've got a genuine bitterness that's rooted in something real. Would you agree with that?
It's totally legit.
Oh, I definitely would agree with that.
Amazing story, huh?
So how do you avoid women who have the potential to go loony on you?
I think you just got to feel them out and, really just hang out with them. And, I'm still not very well experienced in these ways at my age, but...
I am, and I want to share with you, you're never going to get any better at it. You're never going to figure this out any better. There are no answers.
Are there warning signs from your end, though, from the guy's perspective? Can you start to see it in her eyes?
Oh, yeah. And like an old taxi driver once told me, in the first 10 minutes of knowing somebody, mm-hmm. you will know the reason that you will ultimately leave them behind.
What are the warning signs from your end? What can you, how do you know that the girl's going to lose it on you?
Okay, well, first off, are you talking to Steve or are you talking to me? Go ahead, ask Steve here.
Okay, Steve, what would turn you off, immediately let you know that a girl's going to go mental on you?
Oh, let me think about that. I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, the way you've acted, I don't know. I'm speechless, honestly. I'm not experienced enough to answer to that. I have to be honest.
But, well, I start out pretty charming.
Sure. Everybody does.
Yeah, you did. I must say you did. But you know what? It's that flip that you did, the total and complete flip, I mean, you have this whole pretty nice side, and then all of a sudden it's like I'm crazy. I just don't know where it comes from with you.
You know what? I don't think it comes so much from Liz, Steve. I think it's coming from inside you. This is one of those poltergeist movies where no, it's not outside. It's in here with us, man.
You know what'll do it to me is a guy who it's a pattern. He's very attentive. I'll see him. I sleep with him. He calls. I call him. Then so begins this intense communication. Let's say we see each other a bunch of times, and it lasts 2 to 3 weeks, or it can last months. It depends, you know, how available the guy is, how available I am. And then slowly the worm turns. There's, let's say, a gap, a three-hour gap in the time he was going to call, or there's a date canceled. And these sorts of things make me feel insecure.
My favorite is when she's supposed to show up at 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. and she knows I'm leaving the building at 6, and she shows up at 5 till 6.
Ooh.
And you'll start to see that happening. She show up later and later, so it's like, I came over as fast as I could. Sorry that I'm only here for 5 minutes.
Now, does that drive you crazy? Can you go nuts?
Not really, no.
Why? Are you too cool?
No, I'm too familiar. there is no more mystery to this island at all for me here. I could write a book on anthropology. I could write a book on animal husbandry. Everything except romance. And that's what we're talking about, is everything except romance. You're talking about obsession.
Yeah.
And that borders on a legal issue.
Definitely.
If you call somebody 20 times in a row, isn't that illegal?
Yeah, it's harassment. He could have pressed charges. You know, on that note, he was very generous. He let me off the hook. And then again, of course, I could have committed battery had I had my hands on the baseball bat of the 2x4.
Liz, every time you come here, it just gets a little more colorful. I'm talking to Elizabeth Haight. She's the Post columnist for relationships, and she's also got ElizabethHaight.com, H-A-Y-T. What can you tell us? Can you summarize obsession for us here?
Well, I don't think it ever really goes away. So, you know, eventually, if you're lucky, like my girlfriend who crucified the clothes to the door, she got a boyfriend who met her needs. He stuck around. You know, he didn't play this Houdini business on her, like, I'm here, I'm not, you know, and do the cat on the string sort of thing.
And is he aware of her capacities?
No.
Is he aware of her capacity
she
for this
it.
Kind of theatrical craziness?
She hid it from him.
And to see this day, he has no idea that he's sleeping with...
a psychopath?
With sharks. Seriously.
I don't think he does. But what I'm trying to do, seriously, is I've got this whole system set up. I have a photograph of my father I just put on my desk. And every time I want to, like, hit that send button on the email or the redial button on the phone, I look at my father and I remember, it's not the guy I'm after, it's daddy. Can't get daddy, so just put the phone down.
You're perfect for Steve. This is a marriage made in hell. Bring a trident. Good stuff. Liz, you going to come back and visit us next Monday?
Always.
Who loves you?
Oh,
you
Dave.
Know I do. Elizabeth Haight, don't forget, ElizabethHaight.com, and she's in the New York Post. God bless. Have yourself a good weekend.
You too.
Anatawa. David Lee Roth to tsunagatimasu. Bekatsu suru kakugo wa dekiteru? Dokuji no Roth Direct.
Radio. DavidLeeRoth.com worldwide. Gotten the emails from Madison, Wisconsin, Hamburg, Germany, Tampa, Florida, Vancouver, Canada, Las Vegas, Ocean, New Jersey, Byron Bay, Australia. Yeah. 866-313-3733 as we begin our mop-up operation. Sash, you want to go for a helicopter ride with me one of these days?
Are you kidding me? Of course I do. I've never even been on a plane.
You've never even been in an airplane,
no,
sweetie?
Never. Oh, I would love to go on a helicopter ride.
You got to come. You were talking actually about putting together a road trip for everybody to go up to Survival Systems, where I did my ditch training. Okay, where they have the aircraft fuselage, and if you ever spend any time in an aircraft or around helicopters or on a boat, for example, or it's we do when we travel on the roads, we're always on a tour bus by water and all these kinds of things. And I was talking to some of the guys about putting together a trip and take a bunch of us up there by the afternoon, you know, and get all the folks up there to help us out with that. Would you be interested in something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I would, definitely.
We got to put something together like that. Animal, what do you think? When was the last time you went swimming? When was the last time you actually jumped in the water and swam to the bottom?
Oh, we had a family reunion in Alabama like in this last summer, and I went swimming. You know, it was great. You know, I'm down in the deep water chilling, you know, like, wow, this is animal, baby. Hey.
Well, everybody was probably stunned that you were even in the water, right?
Yeah, that right, yeah. Because, you know, down they knew I couldn't swim down south. They were like, man, where you learn to swim at? I was like, yeah, I know how to swim now, baby. Let's go do it.
There you go. It took us about 2 months, actually, in the swimming pool, about 60 days to really get you all the way to where you could swim in your clothes, where you could pick a brick up off the floor, where you could fall in, jump in, work with the wetsuit and everything.
That was the funny part. You threw the brick in like this is a baby, and all of a sudden you come up, okay, the baby dead, you dead too, let's start over again.
Well, no, what I said to him is, hey, anybody can learn to swim, okay? Anybody can put their shorts on and learn to do the belly crawl or the dog stroke or whatever, okay? But in terms of how we really use swimming, it's, oh my God, my kid just fell overboard. Oh my God, the car just drove off the bridge. Oh my God, I just fell into the water and I don't know how to swim. Oh my God, Bobby's drunk and he just fell into the swimming pool. And on and on, right? You know, whenever you get into emergency situations, nobody goes puts their board shorts on and their Oakley sunglasses and gently eases themselves into the pool. It happens at the family barbecue or something and you get knocked backwards into the pool with all your clothes and your Timberlands on and everything. Do you know how to swim at that point? You do now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to swim with your clothes on, but, you know, you just have to don't panic. That's the main thing. And I was very afraid of water up above my neck, but now it's cool, you know.
Is your wetsuit still in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's still there. I checked on it. Like, I went over to do some stuff at your house for you. Checked it out. It's still there. It's good to go. It's waiting on me to get back to it.
We should get my sister Lisa to bring it out here, and we should definitely go up to Survival Systems there.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because if you're flying around with us and everything, Brian, you're a surfer. You're an excellent swimmer. You know how to do this.
Decent swimmer.
Have you ever been upside down in an aircraft?
Not lately.
No, this is the trick, man, because that is kind of the final link in the safety scenario there. And more and more people are starting to do this. In fact, that's where I met the gal who we're going to have on the air at some point in the near future here, the helicopter pilot, young lady named Sarah up there, who is working as one of the safety advisors in the pool there. You know, it's actually a very safe scenario. I'm talking about ditch training. We did this last week on vacation as part of my helicopter curriculum. And hey, maybe we'll put together a road trip or something. You've never been in an aircraft?
Oh,
that's
wow.
Amazing. You're a savvy kid, man. You're worldwide. Where would you like to go? I'll take you anywhere you want to go.
Anywhere I want to go. In the United States or outside the United States?
You know, anywhere within an hour.
Although anywhere would be new for me. I've never been out of like the tri-state area. I was in Boston once and I went there by train. Like, okay. I would go anywhere. It would be a trip.
Oh, so this is the first time really getting out of New York area and whatever. Because, you know, we're going to start traveling here too. It's as part of our gear. You know, I make a lot of fun of the guys upstairs and everything, but they've been nothing but cool with us. And, you know, part of the deal is that I'm not giving up my life of crime and intrigue just to get into broadcasting. Love broadcasting, but hey, too hip, gotta go. We're gonna start broadcasting. Well, we start off with a trip down to Boston, and we're doing that for St. Patrick's Day. I understand that we've got a hot new studio searched out downtown in overlooking Times Square, and then we're gonna start traveling down to the Florida area. You know, we broadcast at West Palm Beach and out of the Miami area. We're gonna travel to LA. You wanna go with us?
I would love to go with you.
Yeah? What's your mom think?
My mom's asking me. I told her that you guys were going to Boston. She's like, you're going with, right?
I
don't know.
I like the way mom thinks. No, you've definitely become the hood ornament here, honey. You know, animal is too big to put on the front of a Mercedes. And that's B Young up in the front there. For those of you who aren't aware, that's live track blasting, we call it. Instead of bringing a band in, which is a bit predictable at this point in the day, we said, let's pick up all the kinds of grooves that I'm listening to, everything that you hear in the background, all of these loops, all the commercials and everything. That's my personal collection. I literally bring two suitcases worth of stuff in here. And we do the whole show standing up, all 4 hours. We stand up on our feet. Nobody sits down, not even during the breaks. Isn't that right, Hutch?
Absolutely true, Dave. My legs are aching as I speak.
and we count it off like in the movie Titanic, when there's 1 minute left to go at the end of the commercial. Hutch stands back and, well, say it with the British accent. Go ahead.
Iceberg!
I think I read somewhere this. We've been talking about movies and the Oscars. Somebody said all that you need to know about human nature is in the last 20 minutes of the movie Titanic. Now that's the truth here. And we were sharing about all the Oscars and everything. We had Sibylla Vargas, who was from CNN, was talking about the Oscars. And we had a really interesting fellow here, Kevin Wilmot, earlier on from the Confederate States of America. If you haven't seen this, it's a mock documentary. You wouldn't even be aware of it if somebody didn't point out to you what's going on that screen there. Really difficult to describe, an amazing picture to see. And I think that Kevin is going to be at the IFC tonight speaking and, you know, addressing his movie there. So, Elizabeth Hay, also a relationship columnist, was here. Were you ever the victim of obsessive love animal?
Well, when I was in college one time, you know, I had a girl chasing behind. Matter of fact, it was the one that shot me in the leg. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Stop.
Turn off the music. Go ahead.
You know, we asked me this one time before, maybe about 4 weeks ago. Like, she was very possessive and everything. She always wanted to know where I was at all times. And if I was to go to the store, I had to let her know. She would get mad and upset. You know, like, if I go to the bathroom, she like handing me my toilet paper and all that old kind of stuff, man. But I finally ditched her, man. It was rough. I just left the apartment, all the furniture, everything, and it just disappeared on her, man.
And then what happened? She came back and shot you?
No, she shot me. Man, she wasn't shooting at me. She was shooting at the pavement, and the bullet ricocheted off the sidewalk and hit me.
Put the music back on. I can't beat that, man. How do I beat that? No matter what cards I'm holding, it's Animal's House, man. It's Animal's House. I just work here. That's priceless. Roth Radio, we're priceless. D. Road, D. Lee, New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston. We're going to Boston. We're going to be coming down the day before St. Patrick's Day, one of the most important holidays there. You're from that area, Hutch, right?
I've got a little residence up there and a wife.
We worked together for the first time last St. Patrick's Day, if I'm not mistaken.
It's our one-year anniversary, Dave, coming up. Oh.
And what could possibly be better than St. Patrick's Day, huh?
Yeah.
Whiskey made me what I am today. If you got any thoughts left for the show here, 866-313-3733. John, he wants to talk. Go ahead, Holmes. You're on. Rough.
Yeah, hey, Dave. This is John from Long Island. How are you?
Extraordinary, my friend. What's cooking?
Yeah, love your show. And it's great to have a pilot talking about airplanes on the air. I love that.
Are you a pilot yourself?
Sure am.
What kind of a pilot are you? Talk with us.
Well, six-wing private pilot with instrument rating. I fly a Grumman Tiger and also a 1945 Piper Cub.
Wow, there's a little bit of history there. Is that something that you built yourself? Is that something that you work on like an automobile?
No, it's a part of I'm in a little group with that, eight pilots. We share it because you don't really fly that type of plane very often, but it's based at a grass strip on Long Island. So really brings you back to what it was like in the old days to fly. It's just great.
When I'm over in Linden, New Jersey, especially during springtime, summertime, it's really, really eerily quiet there. And the way that the winds blow is like everything that you've ever seen in all those black and white silent movies and stuff. And you get a real, real impression of what it was like to first, those early guys go in there, especially when we go up in the helicopter and turn off the engine and there's no sound. And we start to do the flow. Have you ever done ditch training?
I didn't, but I know all about the place you went to, and I think that's great. I am not that comfortable in water, so honestly, I don't know if I would do that. I do other types of training, though, all the time. I love training as part of the greatest thing of aviation is there's always something to learn, right?
Well, it's the people that you're going to associate with. You know, all of the folks that I hang out with are all National Guard, the police, the fellas who drive for all of the corporate concerns for the giant corporations like Sony and so forth. There's a lot of really interesting guys and gals. It's a select fraternity, I think we call it.
It is, but I think that's only because people don't understand it, are scared of it, think it's way too expensive, although I know helicopters are very expensive, but people can get into flying relatively inexpensively. For instance, instead of buying a jet ski, say, you could really have your private pilot's license and then rent an airplane from there.
Yeah.
People don't know that, and I think that scares them away from it.
Yeah, and you know what else might scare them away is that my helicopter sat out on the tarmac all day, landed there at 7:15 in the morning. We didn't finally come back out to get into the aircraft at approximately 9:30 at night, and it had been sub-zero temperature. It was freezing. It's sitting out right next to the water, and because the engines were so freezing cold that when Paulie started to spin up the engine very gently, it was like taking a frozen glass and plunging it into hot water, and accidentally fried the rotors in the turbine there. So now I have a $30,000 paperweight. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's always an issue with anything, right? You got to maintain it correctly, and it could cost you a bundle.
I was never very good with skateboards either. And this was
Dave. I wanted to mention here real quick is just, you know, the public should know that a small plane, like a fixed-wing aircraft, won't fall out of the sky if the engine quits. It has a very good glide ratio, typically 10 to 1 or better.
Oh, a couple of fellas just glided their way into the Hudson, but a few weeks ago, if I recollect.
That's true. A helicopter can land in a much smaller area, which is certainly a benefit if you had a problem. But a fixed-wing plane can fly or glide much further away to find, let's say, a field to land in. So that's one of the benefits also of a fixed-wing in case you have a problem.
Hey, good luck to you while you're up there. Thanks for calling. Roth Radio. I'm D-Ro, David Lee. Sasha, did you have a good time today?
I had a great time.
Animal, did you have a good time?
I had a extraordinary time.
Be young. Being bad, huh? All right, everybody into the helicopter. See you guys tomorrow.